here in person. Now, this is a very, very important thing to understand when you operate in the power of attorney. When you operate in Jesus' authority and his ability and his power, you see, you're operating. See, I see that when I'm standing praying for somebody in a meeting. I say, now, what would Jesus do if he were standing here and this person was asking him to pray? Number one, would he heal him? Number two, would he do it today?
He was always willing.
He was always willing, see? Mm-hmm. Yes. And number three, does he have the power? Does he have the authority given to him by the Father? Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Well, now, okay, Jesus isn't here in the flesh anymore. He's gone to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And by the way, he said, I've seated you right there with me. All right, now, if I can understand that I have that power of attorney to act like Jesus, to be Jesus, in a sense, mm-hmm. in that situation, then I begin to understand that tremendous power of attorney delegated to me as a believer to go out and do what Jesus would do if he was still here.
That's right, and that's why I'm so excited, Darren, that some of our friends are truly picking up
this
concept and running with it, and we're just so blessed. This is the biggest blessing for any teacher when what they're teaching is being accepted and received and put into action, and some of you are really picking up on this and you're seeing answers to prayer. Now we're going to get started into Acts, and we're going to look at some of the mighty works of miracles and healings that are for us today.
Amen.
We are teaching this, Darren, because this concept can be transferred right down to the 21st century here that we're entering into.
Now, here's an amazing man in the third chapter of the book of Acts, and I call him Peter the Chicken because he chickened out when it really got tough with Jesus at the time of Jesus' trial.
Well, in the Gospels, yes.
This is important, folks, to catch, because he wimped out, he denied Jesus. Now here we are. He's no longer a disciple. He's now an apostle. And this apostle, Peter, here is carrying this tremendous authority. He's recognized. He's given this authority. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. A certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along. See, we'd say he has a birth defect. Whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, beautiful, in order to bring alms, to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. In other words, he wants some money. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, look at us. And he began to give him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. Seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. Immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now, when I get to heaven, Barbara, I want to see that video.
Yes.
I want to see that video. Now, here's the Apostle Peter now, empowered with an understanding of who he was in Jesus' absence.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked over there and he says, okay, I've got the power, I've got the goods, I've got the ability. Now, I know you're asking for money, but what you really need here is to be resurrected in a sense. And he grabbed him by the hand, and that power flowed into this cripple.
Yes.
And he stood him right up there by the power of attorney. He was acting in Jesus' place.
Yes, and you're talking about the physical manifestation of a great healing here. And in the 16th verse of chapter 3, we really see the basis of this whole thing. And it is on the basis of faith in his name. It is the name of Jesus. That's where you get your power of attorney. Your power of attorney is gotten by no other way than by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's how Peter raised this guy up.
You know, I'd hook on to that, Barbara. I would say that you can know about that, but you have to believe it and enter into it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can be yours. You can have a power of attorney and not go out and affect that at all. I mean, not put it into action.
That's right.
And that's where most Christians are. They say, yeah, I think there's some power out there somewhere, but I just don't know if I have the time to spend to find out how that works.
Yeah, this faith is a substance that is based entirely on our believing. We have to believe. We've got to know. And here it says, this man was strengthened, whom you see and know. The faith that comes through Jesus has given him perfect health. Now, down in the chapter, we find out this man is over 40 years old, Darren. He's not a young man. He has been lame. That means he has not walked since birth for over 40 years. That means his limbs would be atrophied. They'd be thin. There would be no muscle texture or substance at all. This man, Jesus gives him perfect health in just a split second, as fast as I can snap my fingers, and he got bone, he got muscle, he got energy, he got power to leap.
Yeah, but you know, he got another thing too. He never walked.
That's right.
So he got the ability to walk. He obviously didn't have balance, so he got balance. He could walk and leap and stand up erect.
Yes, so his mind was affected also,
right?
To tell that body to jump up and leap.
So it really means this man was touched on all three levels.
Oh,
he was touched spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. I mean, we could name a lot of things, but he was saying here, this man, in the presence of you all, was raised up. Raised up.
Yes, yes, praise God. Well, the next instance we find is in Acts 4, 29 through 31. And we find here that all in the very beginning of Acts, what Peter and all the apostles wanted the people to do was repent. Exactly what John the Baptist had been preaching when he went out to the Jordan. Repent, change your ways, turn around, and follow after God. And here in Acts 4, the very same thing. The main message here was repent, people, repent. And when they had prayed, it says in the 29th in the 31st verse of Acts 4, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Darren, after salvation, when we ask Holy Spirit to come in and fill us, what Holy Spirit does then is give us boldness. He gives us the power, the dunamis you were just talking about. And that's why our tape series, Tongues, Turning on the Power. You can get to heaven without tongues. You really can. You can get to heaven simply on salvation. But if you as a Christian want to have power in your life to touch those around you and turn them on, you need the tongues. And that's what Peter and all the apostles were teaching the people. There is a baptism of Holy Spirit, of speaking with boldness and speaking in tongues.
See, I believe, Barbara, along with that the way you receive revelation knowledge to know what to do when you're really in a pinch and you can't figure it out by reason, nobody around you can figure it out by reason, you need to be able to pray to the Father and let him deliver that message from his heart to your heart through the vehicle of this language, this special spiritual language called tongues. I use that all the time. In matter of fact, I used that the other night in class. A lady came up and said, you know, I have MS, and the Holy Spirit was working on another track inside with my spirit, and he spoke to me, not audibly, not, you know, in my ear, but in my spirit, and he said, wrong diagnosis. As soon as we prayed accurately, we didn't pray for this wrong thing over here.
That's right.
We prayed right on the money, commanded that spirit of infirmity to leave, and she was miraculously healed, and she's still healed.
That's right. She did say that she went home afterwards, and she vomited up substance that she knew was not something she had eaten.
Close.
It was not because of bad food or anything.
Spirit.
It was a spirit. That's right. So you were right on, Darren, and that was because Holy Spirit was telling you. Well, these people were so excited of hearing about this brand new baptism of Holy Spirit. They were all coming together, selling all their property, selling all their homes, and coming together as one and sharing everything. Well, there was a couple. There was a married couple. And in Acts 5, we hear about them, Darren, and I want you to talk about them a little bit, Ananias and Sapphira. And they decided they were going to sell a piece of land, and they were going to bring the whole amount to the apostles shared.
But the problem was they had set themselves in agreement with the local body there to share everything in common.
Yes.
In the Holy Spirit. Now, that was the agreement. But they decided a little side deal between them.
They'd
sell this, and they're going to hold back a little bit, you know.
Yes.
And here's what happened in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. We read this story. And but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.
Oh, that's
See,
right.
See, I believe they had made an agreement in the name of the Lord with the congregation. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to share. Everybody's going to share.
Yeah,
everybody's
we're going to sell our land and bring the whole amount to be shared. Now, if you do make an agreement with the Lord, I believe it's important to keep that agreement.
Amen.
They could have said, well, you know what? We will give half of what we sell with our land.
Or if they would ask to be released from the vow.
Yes.
That's very important.
Yes.
Ask God, say, God, would you release me? And to their fellow brothers and sisters in the body there, because they had an agreement. Everybody else thought they were operating on the same page here.
That's right.
And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down, breathed his last, And great fear came upon all who heard of it. Now, see, what they did is they took